Hey guys, you're listening to the most captivating podcast in iTunes. That's right, the Elite Man Podcast, where we turn average men into elite men every day. We interview the very best experts from the lifestyle, health, fitness, social, and even entrepreneurial worlds. And with their help, we give you some of the best advice on the planet. Subscribe now if you haven't already and enjoy the show. And oh yeah, if you really enjoy it, leave us a review.
On today's episode, episode number 214, entitled, How to Survive the War on Men and Overcome the Belief of Toxic Masculinity, I chat with Scott McKay. Scott McKay is a dating and relationship expert, best-selling author, and a podcast host. And in today's episode, Scott talks about the war on men that's been waged over the past few years and how good, virtuous men can still come out on top without changing who they are. He goes over terms like toxic masculinity, whether it really exists, and how to traverse through life, especially if you're in the dating climate where men are being scrutinized at every turn. Scott shares his best advice for the 21st century elite man and delivers a powerful message in this episode. If you're wondering how to not only survive, but thrive in a rapidly changing world in which it seems like men are being attacked with unrelenting vigor, check this episode out now. You are going to love it. Hey, have you checked out our Elite Man YouTube channel yet? If not, get on it right now. Go to elitemanmagazine.com/YouTube and start watching our fantastic videos. We cover everything from dating, health, business, fitness, confidence, mindset, social skills, everything that you need to know to be a 21st century elite man, we've got you covered. We have a new video coming out every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, and I'm telling you, this is the number one place to get your elite man fix and the number one place to grow as a man. These videos will absolutely change your life and entertain you at the same time. I'm telling you, check these videos out right now. I have so much fun putting them together. I know you're going to absolutely love them. elitemanmagazine.com/YouTube. Make sure you check it out right now and subscribe to our channel to get more of these fantastic videos and get notified the instant we release a new video. elitemanmagazine.com/YouTube.
All right, guys, we're live. It's Justin Stenstrom from elitemanmagazine.com. And my guest today is my good friend, Scott McKay. Scott, thanks so much for coming back on the show, man.
Hey, it's my pleasure. It's good to talk to you again, Justin. We go way back together, you know?
Yeah, a few years now, man, for sure. And, you know, I consider you one of my good friends, especially in this community that we're in, this entrepreneurial dating community, you know, that sort of thing. You're definitely one of my top go-to guys, and I appreciate it. So it's good to talk to you again, man. Today, we can cover, I want to cover a couple different things, but the main topic I want to focus on, because it's so popular right now, it's so everywhere in the news, and it's so against a lot of the things I stand for in some ways, but in other ways, I think it can be a good thing. And that is the topic of toxic masculinity. And Scott, you've been giving men's advice for years now, way more than I have, way longer than I have anyways. And I just want to pick your brain on this subject, what you think, because there's been so many questions about it. Is it a good thing? Is it hurting guys, especially in the dating community when, you know, we're talking about dating advice and giving guys dating solutions to meet women that they like and to attract them. How does toxic masculinity fit into the whole conversation? And what is your take on it?
Well, I think if you take the word toxic masculinity or the phrase toxic masculinity, two words, right? And you look at how it's being weaponized against a certain population, and that certain population being men in general, not just certain men. What it's doing is it's giving men in general, and ironically, perhaps just in the good guys, the men who don't want to be toxic are the ones who probably care most about having this phrase weaponized against them. What it's doing is it's making perfectly decent guys who mean well, who want to do right by good women. What it's making them feel like is somehow they're not good enough, or that they have to somehow soften themselves up or stop exhibiting manly traits in general, because this is allegedly what women want from them. And what it's doing is it's causing guys to say to themselves, well, you know what, I don't want to even talk to a woman because obviously I'm male, and because I'm male, I'm inherently toxic according to what women are saying. So good grief, I don't want to be the next Me Too post, so I better just leave women alone in general. And I think what guys are not recognizing is this is kind of the Twitter effect. This is angry people who have their own private media outlets in the form of a Twitter account, being angry. And when people are angry and people are bitter over something, they're the ones who tend to be loudest. They're the ones who tend to be most militant. Meanwhile, if guys actually go out and talk to and meet women, what they're going to find out is really not a whole lot's changed. Women are still very feminine. They love men who are masculine. And that masculinity and femininity, as I've always said, Justin, are the building blocks themselves of sexual attraction. So what happens is when you don't have men who are caring to be masculine anymore because they've somehow figured that women don't want that anymore, what it does is it just breaks the foundation of sexual attraction itself. So that's kind of the fundamental issue. And you have men basically writing themselves out of the sexual attraction equation and women left wondering what's happened, especially if they're the women who aren't angrily bashing men for being male. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And I think the real problem comes with, there's really two definitions or two ways to look at toxic masculinity, the definition of toxic masculinity. On one hand, there's the way that in general, most people think toxic masculinity is a bad thing, and it refers to most men being bad men or most characteristics that men have being bad. And that has to be, you know, that men are innately flawed in some fashion, and that's why they have to, you know, the Gillette commercial, all these things coming out attacking men, basically going against men. But I think on the other hand, there's a definition which I actually think isn't a bad thing, and that is the fact that there is toxic masculinity. Because when I first heard this, I was totally against that first version of it, and I'm like, this is, you know, bullshit. Toxic masculinity isn't even a thing. It doesn't exist. But if you actually look at it, masculinity can become toxic if taken too far. And there's certainly aspects of it that can be bad. Like, there's certainly masculine aspects that some guys take too far, and it can be certainly a bad thing. So the word toxic masculinity, the phrase toxic masculinity, I think is a real thing in some regard, but I just don't think it's the same. I don't think it's the same regard that most people view it in. And I think that the mainstream media definition of it, or the definition of that phrase, is flawed. And I think they're taking it the wrong way and going too far with it.
Well, remember, anytime there's an agenda that's driven by identity politics or anything else, those who are creating these virtue signals, of which toxic masculinity is definitely a virtue signal term, there's an agenda behind it. And those who are creating the media-driven rules, as it were, those who are putting all these terms into play, are a few chess moves ahead of everybody else. They're trying to affect a psychological outcome amongst a certain group of people. So what's happened is you take a term like toxic masculinity and you talk about things that men, good men, decent men, don't even want to do, let alone are doing, like raping women, being violent to women. You know what? Men are violent towards women. Men do rape women. But not all of us do that. And I think all of the decent men would say, hey, you know what? That's not what our masculinity is about. But what happens is when they use the term toxic masculinity and they start kind of conflating other things with that, like, hey, here's a couple of little boys wrestling. Here's a guy saying, hey, you know what? You're going to have to be stronger than this. You're going to have to learn how to be a protector. You're going to have to learn how to, you know, that, well, they wouldn't even use that term. That's the non-toxic version. But, you know, you're going to have to learn how to man up or whatever. You know, those are situations that aren't exactly like raping a woman or murdering or killing or men behaving badly. That's just men doing what men tend to do that men tend to like to do. Like the two boys wrestling in the yard enjoy doing that. Now, if one boy is throttling another one and bullying him, well, then dad needs to pull him aside and say, that's not how we act as men. We don't dominate other people when it's not in their best interest and bully them and hurt them, you see. But what happens is when you start saying, okay, this is how men are, this is what it all comes down to. Even if you have a smile on your face and you're trying to do the right thing, this is what you really wish you were doing. So you all men have to do better. And it's putting the blame on all of us for what certain men do. And the big problem, Justin, you know, you're talking about how you agree with certain things about toxic masculinity and other things you don't agree with, is that when men are told that their masculinity is toxic and we need to rethink masculinity, we're not told what that rethinking looks like. We're not told what to replace the toxic masculinity with. at best, what men are told to replace it with is some sort of virtuous femininity. Now, I've just opened a whole can of worms with that phrase. In other words, instead of raping women, and instead of hurting women, instead of making more money with women than women and not letting them have a decent job or whatever it is that men are doing that's deemed as toxic, bullying, whatever. What you should do is you should be more sensitive. You should be willing to cry. You should soften up. You should bring joy into the world. You should act more like women do when women are being virtuous. So what that does is that takes the yin and yang of masculinity and femininity, and what it does is it says, okay, since masculine and feminine are different, then they should be different in every way. They must be different in every way. It's a logical fallacy at work. So in other words, men and women are opposites. So that means women good, men bad, right? But that's just not true. Both masculinity and femininity are meant to be virtuous, and the toxic version of either, and oh yes, there's toxic femininity. Okay, I went through a 7-year marriage to a woman who perverted her feminine gifts in big ways, and we can talk about that if you want for clarity for guys, although I don't want to dwell on it.
Yeah, just mention what that is real quick.
Excuse me. But what it is, you know, like for example, a woman feels emotion. A woman brings joy. A woman brings comfort. A woman brings those things that we live for on weekends. We as men, when we're being virtuous, are protectors, not destroyers. Okay? We're providers, not takers and pillagers. We're men of compassion rather than being dispassionate. You know, what I like to say is, you know, for every Hitler, and I mean real Hitlers, okay? Not people that someone is calling Hitler nowadays, but a real honest threat to society as we know it, who was responsible for genuine atrocities. Typically, there has to be a Winston Churchill or Franklin Delano Roosevelt who's going to be a leader who stands up to that leader and takes him down. You know? Hmm. And it's a manly virtue to take down that evil. You see what I mean? That's what virtuous masculinity looks like. Masculine virtue provides and protects and makes the world safe for the feminine gifts to emerge and to flourish. Now, what a virtuous woman does is not only brings those feminine gifts and bestows them upon the world, but is also appreciative of the masculine, and in the way that she presents those gifts to him. For example, a woman wants to bring joy, bring happiness, bring comfort. The man is the beneficiary of that because he is the one who went out of his way to provide and protect. Now, does this mean that women can't be smart, can't be successful, can't be empowered? Not in the least. I believe that personal power, confidence, being successful, being intelligent, I don't believe those are masculine or feminine traits. Those are human traits. You're talking to a guy whose 7-year-old daughter is a nationally ranked and a state champion at an extreme sport that usually only boys play. But she also, everything she wears while she does the sport is pink and purple. She has long hair, you know, and giggles. So I'm not making the point that women can't be smart, successful, powerful, empowered, etc. What I'm saying is there's a masculine-feminine dance that creates sexual attraction, and that's dependent on masculinity turning femininity on. Men are turned on by the feminine things women do. Women are turned on by the prospect of a man being a provider and protector and an enabler of her femininity. In other words, masculinity and femininity are meant to amplify each other. So when you're saying to all men, hey, look, you know what, your masculinity is bad, what you're saying in effect to men is take everything that's sexually attractive about you and truncate it and turn into some kind of girl. Now, here's where it gets complicated. And this is the last thing I'll say since I'm on a rant. Is if you watch the Super Bowl, there were a lot of commercials about, you know, don't let the men be boys. You know, you had all the guys in the, you know, you mentioned the Gillette commercial, which has gotten a lot of run, probably more than it deserves. But you had the guys all standing in front of their barbecues going, oh, boys will be boys, you know. Well, every man in the world can relate to barbecuing. Well, there's nothing inherently wrong with barbecuing unless you're some sort of vegan or something and it's a don't eat meat thing. But you're taking a bunch of guys who represent how we all see ourselves and you have all those guys in unison sanctioning bad behavior. And that is a message to all of us. Hey, there's a problem with all of you all. That was the visual message of that ad. And of course, that's only one example. So you had ads that kind of did that some more, maybe to a more subtle degree during the Super Bowl. You know, hey, you know what, guys, you need to soften up a little bit. Interestingly enough, Justin, you had three different instances in the one Super Bowl this year, 2019, as we speak, of little girls playing tackle football. I don't know if you noticed that.
No.
I'm sure you were watching the game, you know, but there were three different, completely wholly separate from each other. I mean, they didn't produce these commercials or you know, whatever these public statements were, knowing the other companies or organizations were doing it. And interestingly enough, women would say that, you know, NFL or football is a representation of toxic masculinity in and of itself. It's a bunch of men out there trying to kill each other. You know, this is what's wrong with men. Yet we're telling little girls they should go out and play tackle football. So what's happening is even as men are being told their masculinity is toxic and given nothing to replace it with, but theoretically virtuous femininity, we're not making a differentiation for boys between toxic and non-toxic masculinity. It's just, hey, masculinity's got to go, replace it with some kind of femininity. Women are appropriating the virtuous version of masculinity for themselves. They are telling themselves that they need to be tougher. They need to be stronger. They need to be more resilient. They need to be the fighters. Women who are fighters are celebrated. No one's going around telling a Ronda Rousey, yeah, you know what? You're toxic masculine. Stop it. Right? This is, you know, girl power. And then you have women saying, hey, you know what? You should be going out and you should be playing football. So there's a larger issue at work here. You have women appropriating the masculinity for themselves in the virtuous sense while they're conveniently forgetting to remind men that there's a virtuous version of toxic masculinity that they should replacing the bad version with. I'm like you, Justin. My problem isn't so much with fixing the problematic dudes out there. It's the conflation of all masculinity with lack of virtue, even as the same groups that would have us believe that are trying to appropriate the virtues of masculinity for themselves, for women. And I think that speaks to a larger agenda, perhaps of controlling how men and women feel about each other and perhaps even birth rate and things like that, which is a larger discussion.
Yeah. And you're so right with, you know, a number of things you're saying here. So the biggest thing is really the toxic masculinity. They want you to believe that it applies, like just the average guy, average elite man podcast listener. They want you to believe that it applies to you and that most guys are bad or most guys are flawed or most guys are toxic because of simply just being a man. And that's really the problem. And there are issues, like you said before, you brought up, you know, a number of things. There's guys that are complete assholes. There's guys that do a lot of dumb shit out there. And there's guys that, you know, beat women or guys that rape women or guys that bully other guys. And, you know, nobody's saying that any of those things are appropriate and they're absolutely horrible and some of the worst things, you know, on the world, in the planet, that go on. But to conflate the two and say that men, all men have these characteristics and all men, you know, are bullies because they're masculine or they're too masculine, it's just ridiculous. And I think it's just gotten to a point where it's like seeping through almost everything we do, and especially, you know, I wanted to have you on the show, Scott, too. One of the big reasons is because you're a dating guy. You're a dating advice guy, a great dating coach, one of the best in the world. When it comes to dating specifically, I think the whole toxic masculinity or even just the masculinity topic by itself is like coming into question lately. Guys are wondering how masculine they should be. I mean, you brought up the last point you brought up was great, too. Like women are thinking now because of all the brainwashing and, you know, the media and whatnot, that they have to be more manly, they have to be more masculine, they have to have that virtuous masculinity instead of the man. And so it's like the gender roles are really coming into question the last couple of years. And men don't know how to act, especially when they go on a date and they first meet a woman. And women don't know how to act because they think they have to have these characteristics that the man would typically have. And the attraction, I mean, just going back to pure psychology and how we're all wired, women are attracted to strong men. They're attracted to leaders. They're attracted to dominant men. As much as that might not be politically correct to say, women like dominant, strong men for the most part. And so when you have this gender role switching around, it's like women don't even know what they're attracted to anymore. They think that they want this like more feminine man, but they're not even attracted to that man. And then men think they have to be more feminine. And again, it's not working. So I guess my question, Scott, is where does this come into play with dating and what you see when you're working with your guys? How do you advise them to navigate this type of question?
I'll tell you what, Justin. The ideas that are swimming around in this conversation, 3-second snippets we could talk about for a whole hour. There's like about two dozen separate topics here, but
this is an excellent primer.
Yeah. So much to talk about there. First of all, you're talking about women not even knowing what they're attracted to anymore.
Yeah.
Here's the thing. We live in a secular humanist society. And whether you like it or not, I'm about to open up another whole can of worms. This will be your baker's dozen of separate things to talk about for an hour. Religion, as we know it, has been replaced by politics.
Yeah, in a lot of ways,
Which side are you on? Are you on the left or are you on the right? And people are, much like people were told for years, they're told what to believe, by the people who are in charge, who, have the very, voice of God on their side, the voice of God on their side, and whoever the political leaders are, here's what we believe. Here's the party line. And what happens if you get on Twitter, God forbid, and start talking politics, which please don't do, you'll be depressed. You'll need a psychiatrist by the time you're done with an hour version of it. Yeah. You got a bunch of people that just love to get in fights. They're twisted people. Okay. And on both sides, okay, I did not vote for Donald Trump. I did not vote for Hillary. I voted for a do-over, okay? And I understand that both sides are very toxic to the other side. But what happens is you're told that so-and-so is a bad person. You're told that so-and-so is a faulty belief system, that this political platform is problematic. And someone comes with a logical, well-thought-out argument. Like Scott Adams of Dilbert fame is famous for disrupting Twitter with this sort of thought. And people, either love him or can't stand him because of it. Someone actually thinks for themselves and says, hey, wait a minute. On this whole issue, if you're thought about this way or this way or this way, and the person comes back with, you're an idiot and I hope you die in a car fire. Okay, well, that means they can't defend their position with logic. All they can do is parrot what they've been told, and they don't know why they believe it. They can't explain their belief system. It's just that they do. It's like saying, hey, you over there who believe this particular religion – the tenet of your religion is this. Doesn't that kind of contradict with this element of human reason? No, because God said it and that settles it. All right, well, we as humans thrive when we think for ourselves. Right now, thinking for yourself is a dangerous action because both of these other sides are going to basically draw and quarter you. thinking for yourself is a dangerous thing. So what happens is women are told, hey, here's the kind of man you should like. You should like a man who's a lot softer and a lot more feminine. And you used an incredible word, okay? This is like a loaded 357 Magnum, the word dominant when it comes to man. I've done it. I'm guilty of what you're guilty of, which is apologizing for even uttering the word relative to how men act. Here's the problem. Today, life is too easy. You don't have to know why you believe what you believe because all it's good for is Twitter anyway. We all live in – a lot of us in this part of the world live comfortably in suburbia. Men are never going to have to man up for any real reason other than to go up and get another beer. We live comfortable lives. We don't go on adventures. We don't have real things that represent a real threat. We don't have real goals that are worth attaining. If you think about it, so many things have been discovered. So many things have been done. So many demons have been quashed. So many enemies have been defeated. Now, not all of them, but basically our country has not experienced a World War II kind of existential threat to our entire way of life for a long time. You know, you could count, you know, Iraq War number one, I guess, maybe. You could count 9/11 as pretty much the last thing that happened in this country that caused all of us to forget our differences and unite, which, by the way, we would do again if we had a genuine national emergency. Now, I'm not going to get into whether the national emergency at the border is real or not, because this isn't a political podcast. But, you know, bear in mind that lots of presidents used political, you know, the ability to politically order a national emergency for a variety of reasons. It doesn't have to be a 9/11. A 9/11 would be a particularly large one that would unite the country. We haven't had anything like that happen in this country since the kids who are now allowed to vote in this next election cycle were born. Yeah. I mean, kids who will be able to vote in the next election cycle were not born when 9/11 happened.
It's crazy.
So it's a very mollycoddled culture. You go to a place where life is genuinely difficult, where the way of life is a lot more visceral. You know, you go to Central America, or you go to India, or you go to you know, visit the Maasai in Kenya. Toxic masculinity is not going to be in the language that they use with each other. Men are going to have to be men. If you watch movies like the Right Stuff, which every man should watch. Dude, I felt like the biggest pussy after I watched that movie.
Yeah.
Okay, and I'm trying. I'm teaching men. If you guys have not seen The Right Stuff, and you see, you know, Chuck Yeager. By the way, he's a great follow on Twitter. Chuck Yeager. He's 96 years old. He's still tweeting, and he's just as much of a badass. And you see what John Glenn did. You know, I mean, these guys get in these capsules, and they could be fried alive. But you know, there's a goal. There's a mission. There's beat the Russians at this. There's fly in outer space, and there's a certain scene in The Right Stuff where Shepard gets to be the first, you know, American at least who's ever seen Earth from outside the atmosphere. No one even knows what it looks like, and he's just in awe. Okay, and you know, there's certain things in life that should be worth it, and it's not ordering pizza and watching the game and playing video games. You know, it's not that. It's not whether my San Antonio Spurs win or lose tonight, although that's near the top, but it's not the top. Most guys are watching life happen on TV. Most women are watching life happen on TV. So when you ask a woman what she's attracted to, she's never met the kind of guy who knows how to be a man. She's in her suburban world, meeting guys who don't ever have to lift a finger. And what toxic masculinity does that's probably most insidious is it lets us as men off the hook for being men. All of a sudden, hey, you know what? The women don't want us to be masculine anymore. Thank God. I don't have to stand up to a bully anymore. I don't have to fight for anything. I don't have to do anything dangerous. God forbid. The women just want me to sit here and act like a girl from now on. Now, the other insidious part is acting like a girl in the sense of not doing anything is just as toxic. Women have things they should do just like men have things we should do. And femininity is such a wonderful gift to the world, bringing joy, bringing comfort, bringing happiness. You know, we were talking briefly about toxic femininity, trying to sap the world of optimism, of joy. You know, being a complainer, being someone who's like one of the mean girls who just wants to be catty towards other women and tear them down. That's toxic femininity. All those things you don't see men really doing to each other. I mean, you know, we can get in a fist fight and be best friends afterwards. Like, man, you really got me with that right cross. Yeah, man, that hurt. And then they go slap each other on the back and have a beer. You know, women can hold those grudges and be catty towards each other for years. That's a perversion of what women do. And of course, you know, that's probably hard to wrap your head around if you're a guy. But if you start thinking about examples where women uniquely do what they do and it doesn't work out well, you'll see how nicely that matches up in a philosophical sense with the concepts of toxic masculinity. I mean, women baiting men into hurting them because they're broken. Women trying to get men to do something that'll get them arrested, or trying to stoke their anger, you know, and women being chronically unappreciative of men and emasculating them and trying to be powerful over them and trying to usurp that wonderful honor we feel to try to be a provider and protector for women to say to a man, you know, your effort didn't matter. You're impotent, you know, in that regard. I can protect myself. I don't need you. You lost at that. That's toxic femininity at work. That's ever been as bad as a man using his dominant physical power to make a woman feel weak. That's the toxicity of femininity. And, you know, a woman will go out with a man and she'll go, well, you know, I wasn't feeling it. And I don't understand why, because he was nice. He was, but she's not feeling it because there's no man there who could stand up to something on her behalf, right? I mean, you watch a movie like Tombstone, and one of the great plot arcs in that movie is that, you know, the main character, Wyatt Earp, was retired. He was done with all this gunfighting, you know, lawman stuff. And if you know the subplot of that movie, when he was in Dodge City, Kansas, he didn't really do much shooting. He didn't have to really be all that violent, but, you know, because of the cowboy gang and Ike Clanton and Johnny Ringo and those guys, he was forced into a position ultimately where he had to man up and be the provider and protector for that whole town. We as men don't have to do that anymore. We don't have to be anybody's huckleberry in the year 2019. You see what I mean? And it's dangerous. And what the guys did in NASA in the late 50s and early 60s, and what Chuck Yeager did when he flew the X-1 past the sound barrier, was dirty, dangerous fireball work. And we as men don't have to do that much anymore. And if faced with doing it, we often run away. Now, I know guys have been in the Marine Corps and guys have done the military, and I coach some of these guys, and they're good men who want to do right by a woman, and they don't worry much about toxic masculinity because toxic masculinity doesn't apply to them. They just ignore the people who are shrieking and squealing about this, and they focus on the women who appreciate good men. And that's what I tell guys to do, Justin. I mean, if you're a man and you are doing the right thing, if you want to be a provider and a protector, and you know evil when you see it and you stand against it, if you're the kind of guy who would go break up a fight, if you're the kind of guy who wouldn't let a guy abuse another woman, then chances are when you get in front of a woman and she's feminine, she'll be sexually attracted to you, and this conversation will never even come up on a date. You know what I mean?
Have you tried our newest Elite Life Nutrition supplements yet? Yep, that's right. We've got two new products. Milk Thistle and NAC, N-acetylcysteine, the two best supplements in the world for your liver. Both of these babies are incredibly nourishing for your liver and can help with the natural detoxification of so many toxins from the air, water, and food that you eat. We're constantly bombarded with toxins, and unfortunately, it only seems to be getting worse. This means your liver is working harder and harder without getting the necessary support it needs. And that's why I'm so happy to bring this Milk Thistle and NAC to you guys. I've been taking both of these supplements every day for the last few years, and I absolutely love them. Especially after a night out of drinking one too many. And yeah, there's been a fair share of those over the last few years, but don't tell anybody about that. But anyways, that's why I knew I had to bring these two products onto the Elite Life Nutrition brand. I absolutely love them. They really are incredible with helping to support your liver, also helping out with the natural detoxification of your body, and they help boost your immune system. So do yourself a favor and get one or both of these fantastic supplements today. Go to EliteLifeNutrition.com/products to visit our full products page, or go to EliteLifeNutrition.com/NAC or EliteLifeNutrition.com/milk. And that's NAC for the NAC and MILK as in milk for the milk thistle. And by the way, there is no milk in this milk thistle product. That's just the funky name of the herb they came up with many years back. But anyways, go to elitelifenutrition.com/product to view all our products at any time, including both this NAC and new milk thistle product we have, or just go to elitelifenutrition.com/NAC or elitelifenutrition.com/milk to go right to the page to view either the NAC or the milk. But either way, get one or both of these products. And don't forget that the links to these products and all links for that matter that we mentioned on the podcast can be found right in the show notes.
I think it's probably the best way to combat this type of thing. It's the best way to act when you're on a date, especially, you know, specifically when we're talking about dating. It's, you know, just having the attitude. I think, you know, the thing is, most guys listening to the show right now are already great men. They're already, I mean, they're elite men simply by watching the show, simply by trying to be the best man they can be every single day and you know, putting their best foot forward. 99.9%, I think, of the listeners, maybe that's a little too much, maybe 99% of the listeners are great men that listen to the show. But it gets confusing. It certainly gets confusing when you listen to the media, when you listen to terms like this, phrases like this coming out, and then you see women acting a certain way. Like, even in the past couple of years, I've been single now, Scott, for a couple of years, and it's like going out, you know, me even personally, I just notice a difference in not all the girls, but some of the girls I come across at the bar or at the club or, you know, from time to time. It's like you get into these different conversations with friends of friends, girlfriends of friends that you know or whatever, and these things pop up. So it's like it's not just something that you see on the media or something that you see on TV. It's starting to seep its way into everyday life. And I'm just wondering how guys can really put the best foot forward when they're facing this stuff. And it sounds like, you know, the way your answer actually is pretty good. Just keep doing the right things that they're doing. Keep being the virtuous men that they already are. But is there anything else? Is there anything else that you can recommend in this regard when it comes to this? Because I feel like, you know, part of me thinks that it's only going to continue to get worse unless something happens, unless, you know, something comes along, or unless, you know, we get the message across to men and they get the message across to other men. And, you know, the thousands of people that listen to the show can help spread that message to other people. Like, you know, it's not a bad thing to be masculine. It's certainly not a bad thing to be feminist, to be feminine, to you know, to have those great qualities that you talked about earlier. There is a toxic femininity out there, but there's also just great women that are very feminine. And, you know, that's what we love as men. We want those feminine women. But there has to be more of a balance. And I'm just trying to figure out what the best way to going about having that balance is.
I'll tell you. I'm not sure you can, one person, any of us as individuals, can turn this whole ship around for the masses. But one of the things I said earlier that was very key, I think, is the best answer to the question you just raised. People are being told what to believe, and they don't know why they're believing it now. They're just buying into this dogmatic viewpoint because it allows them to feel like they're part of something bigger. And what's most frustrating to see, you know, like I just mentioned, no need to reiterate, is that a lot of guys see toxic masculinity and don't be masculine anymore as an easy out. They get to be neuter and be celebrated for it now. This is cool. I can just eat Cheetos and watch video games. I'm cool. Right? I think if you want to stand up for what masculinity is, I'm going to make it three. Okay. I'll give you three-legged stool here. There are three ways that you can really make your point in a way that's caring to other people and possibly gets them to think. Now, if they're brainwashed, just, you know, if you're a guy, don't date her. Okay. But here they are. The first one is simply to, like you said, be the example of a man who wants to do right by women. When someone says, hey, you know what, men need to do better. Men need to stop, you know, raping women. You know, sure. All these guys who are legitimate monsters, they're doing the wrong thing. They're doing the bad thing. Okay. The second thing you can do is make very clear this. In other words, you're agreeing with them in some ways, insofar as toxic masculinity really does exist. But instead of weaponizing it and you know, merely agree, you know, simply agree with them on the part that's agreeable, then stand up for that angle nobody else is talking about, which is the fact that there is virtuous masculinity. And if you want to, you know, depending on the level of who you're talking to and what you think they can handle, you can say that, you know, without virtue, only virtue can be corrupted to begin with. Something that's vice-ridden cannot stand as an original concept. I mean, love has to be corrupted into fear, et cetera, et cetera. Otherwise, the universe would explode into a fireball, right? So counter the concept of all masculinity is toxic with tenets of positive non-toxic masculinity. And I would not use the term non-toxic masculinity because it assumes toxic masculinity as the baseline, which is not. Virtuous masculinity is the baseline.
Yeah.
And then here's what I think is the most compelling leg of this stool. And this is what I do. And you may disagree. Guys are welcome to disagree. But I'll tell you, anytime you have someone who's female or, God forbid, a male feminist who wants to bash us for being, you know, male. And I mean, most of those guys are checking out for masculinity conveniently.
Yeah, those right? are the worst guys.
Yeah, I know. Well, they're not getting laid either. Trust me.
100%.
That's the dirty trick that's been playing on them, by the way. Any of you guys who are doing what feminists are telling you to do, thinking you're going to get the good favors of women, you're going to get the good favors of the just be friend zone, okay? Until you're offered up, okay? Then you know, you're going to be sacrificed on the altar anyway. But anyway, I don't want to digress from this because this is important. That third leg of the stool is to acknowledge that femininity is the higher calling. Okay, you want to take someone who talks about patriarchy and men. You know, women who feel like they've got to take what men have had. The future is female. You know, we're going to be the matriarchy from now on. It's not about equality. It's about a reckoning that, you know, based on revenge. Okay.
Yeah.
You know, women who are thinking like that, men who are agreeing with that, remind them that for women to simply pass off femininity as somehow irrelevant because they're busy chasing masculinity and grabbing it from men. Give them a viewpoint that femininity is actually the higher calling. Okay. And here's how I explain that. Women bring joy, comfort, fun, the party, social life before we all forgot how to be social because of electronic media, right? They bring everything we live for on weekends. Everything that's wonderful about life is a feminine gift. We as men are the enablers, providers, protectors of that ability to be feminine without having to worry about that stuff. Everything men in our masculinity are the enablers, providers, and protectors of is further down Maslow's hierarchy if you've seen the pyramid. All the safety needs, this, that, and the other. That all has to be taken care of before anything that femininity can bring to the table is allowed to flourish. Show me a woman who believes what I'm telling you. I will show you an incredibly happy woman with a very happy man in her life. Because life is supposed to be full of joy, fun, comfort, and the amazing things that women are best at bringing. Now, does that mean men don't know how to change diapers and throw a party? Let's not get ahead of ourselves, okay? We can gender bend all we want. I could throw a hell of a party, frankly. I could change a mean diaper too. But it doesn't – but remember, masculinity and femininity at its core are about sexual attraction. Modern lifestyle is not to be confused with that. What women are looking for is the image of you being a provider and a protector. I've done things with my wife. I've taken my wife places, and my wife would never in a million years have gone where I took her or done the adventure we went on, except for the fact that I was there with her and it gave her this sense of security. But ultimately, you know, my ability to affect safety and security in some of those situations was limited at best. You know, a great example is my wife and I went to North Korea while we still could. And my wife would never go there by herself, but because I was with her, somehow she felt like everything was going to be okay. It wasn't. If those guys would have wanted to arrest me and throw me in jail, they could have too. You know, I was along for the ride as much as she was. But it's that perception that I can stand up for her, that I can provide, that my decisions will be good ones on behalf of the family, that I have my family's best interest at heart, which, by the way, is the core of virtuous masculinity. Are the women and the children and anybody, your entire nation under your care if you're the president or leader of a nation? Are you inspiring confidence that they're better off with the decisions you're making than if someone else is making those decisions? Like I said, I did not vote for Donald Trump, but Donald Trump's loose lips are sinking his ship. His peccadilloes in his past where he's made bad decisions socially are casting doubt on his decision making at large for a country. Now, you could also argue that, hey, we didn't want a politician. He doesn't know how to play politics. That's exactly what we got. Okay. But it's different and people have to wrap their head around it. And some people are doing that in a favorable light and some people are not. That's also a function of the two sides becoming very dogmatic. But you see how that inspiring of confidence in the people who are under your care, the people who depend on you. And again, it doesn't matter if the woman's making half or more or all of the income in the family. She needs to have this sense that the man is a capable provider and protector. It's not that he is Wyatt Earp, but damn it, he could be if he had to be, right?
Yeah.
So you, as a man, your purpose is to make the world safe for women to do what they do. Show me a woman who's a single mom, Justin. She has to go to work all day, bring home the bacon, then come home and bathe the kids, right? Feed them. Wake up the next morning. She has to take on all the masculine in her life because, you know, she has to do it all. Isn't it amazing how there's very little room left for the feminine in a single mom's life? You know, she's got 10 locks on the door. I'm sure you've dated that woman, you know, and she's just got to do everything. You take a woman out like that and say, hey, you know what? You got a babysitter for the evening. If you're a single dad, you know, you got a babysitter for the evening. Take your phone and chuck it in the back seat of your car and say, hey, you know what? For the next 2 hours, I got this handled. You're on a 2-hour vacation. I just want you to relax and be able to take a breath in and be a woman for 2 hours. My God, will you ever have a second date? Your first date may never end. I mean, you will have just used that woman will light up like a Christmas tree. I promise. Okay. There's a practical dating tip for you. Why? Because women want to see you as a man who not only is capable of providing and protecting for femininity, but that you honor what femininity represents. Justin, I have guys, they don't understand why they want a woman other than sex. I say things like, what has a woman ever done? Give me examples of feminine things or actions or mannerisms or what she said that a woman did that really turned you on and reminded you why you love women so much. Probably 8 out of 10 guys were like, I got nothing. I was like, boy, are you missing out? What do you need that veil lifted? Because that's symptomatic of a man who is not making a woman feel safe and comfortable in his presence to the point where she can be freed up to bestow all those things we live for on weekends. If you start talking to women even who are angry and bitter towards men in terms of femininity being the higher calling like that, what's most important about life is what they bring, they will stop and they will be wrapped like deer in the headlights and they will listen and they will hear you out. And they will go, well, damn. Every time. I've done it on radio shows where I had, you know, they were going to call me on the carpet for my beliefs on masculinity and femininity. I've been on radio with feminists where they went, well, you know, I really can't argue with that.
No, man, I seen it. I seen it a couple of years ago in person at the conference. You know, all the women loved you. You know, not in like a sexual way, like, you know, even though you got a ton of sex appeal, Scott. But I mean, just like in a masculine, just virtue. I mean, you are the example of that. Exactly what we're talking about here. Just being a good dude and being someone that they can talk to. And the other guys obviously loved you too. Some of the younger guys at the conference asking you for dating advice. But it's just like you're the kind of prototypical guy that we're talking about here, being a virtuous masculine man and having those good values and beliefs and the way you just act towards men and women and people love you for it. That's just, you know, called being a good dude.
Well, I'm going to be quick to clarify something you said, lest the guys get a faulty impression of who the hell I am. I'm not Evel Knievel. I'm not John Glenn. I'm not a badass. I'm not very tall. I could use to lose a few pounds because I'm in my 50s now. And even when I was younger, I looked a lot more like Rudy, you know, Sean Astin than I did Sean Connery or Jocko Willink. Okay.
Yeah.
But you're right. It's amazing how it's that impression. It's how you carry yourself. It's how you are with who you are. That confidence, and I mean, confidence is sexy for both men and women. Okay. That's not masculine or feminine, but if you own the fact that you're a man, and with that comes certain responsibilities to do right by women, to be a provider, to be a protector, to stand up against that toxic masculinity. Okay. Not even if you watch like movies like The Right Stuff, you know, they're sleeping around their wives and they're drinking too much. There's some toxic masculinity, even in those guys who were heroes back then, because, you know, we're all flawed. Okay. I mean, even the best woman in the world is going to have a toxic feminine moment here and there. Well, my wife comes damn close to not. But, you know, my wife would tell you that I am the greatest, most heroic, most handsome man in the world, you know, and you know, she loves Matthew McConaughey and this, that, and the other. But, you know, she wouldn't trade me for him because, you know, I've had that effect on her life in a way that a masculine man does. Dominance, we haven't talked about yet. Dominance is a scary word for men because when we think of dominance, we think of being coercive. We think of being mean. We think of exerting our will on someone who doesn't want that will to be done, perhaps physically or emotionally or in some other manipulative way that only some heartless bastard would do. But dominant means you have power over something else. If you don't have power in your family, then someone else who is more dominant at the primal level, at least, you know, again, we don't face these things in modern culture in suburbia, right? Is going to come take everything. You know, you won't be able to provide and protect if you're not dominant over that which would like to take from you what it would like to have for itself. In bed, in the bedroom, women love dominant sexual men. Why? The same reason we love really fast sports cars or motorcycles. You know, you have to go 70 miles an hour on the street, but you know, when you get that thing in track day, you can wring it out. It's not unlike, you know, I'm not going to compare men to dogs because that would be counter to our entire conversation here. But you know, why would a woman get a Rottweiler? Because the Rottweiler will love her and snuggle up to her and watch movies. But if an intruder comes in the house, she's going to rip her throat out. That's us. Woman needs to know that she doesn't have to fear outside influences dominating. You know, men who are smart, men who can think their way out of situations, men who make good decisions, men who treat women well, men who, you know, don't abuse substances, men who aren't manipulative, men who are open books, those guys make women feel comfortable, and that's credit to you as being a hero. You know, you want to be a hero, that's the archetypal state of being that every man wants to be. We want the ticker tape parade. We want to be the guy left standing at the end. Your woman will see you as that guy if you have the capability to be that guy. Whether you're going to be stood, you know, whether you're going to have to put your money where your mouth is one day remains to be seen. You know, very few of us will do it like a Wyatt Earp or a Doc Holliday or John Glenn or a Chuck Yeager. But, you know, we'll do it in our own way, and that'll be wonderful to our woman. You know, just like your woman, if she brings joy and comfort instead of strife and bickering and nagging, then you know, you're going to really be very pleased with the woman you have in your life. And that's the name of the game. I mean, dominance is a good thing. Dominance is a factor that allows you to successfully communicate to a woman you love and your children, by the way, that you got things handled. You know, David D'Angelo in his books used to say, you know, you need to get this part of your life handled. And it's all that phraseology always just struck me as such a manly way to put it, you know, and perhaps a visceral, almost intuitive way that wasn't quite tangible, but that's why it felt so good to have it phrased like that. Because when you have something handled, that means you've done your manly duty of dominating it. And yeah, That's the good dominance.
Yeah. And I mean, dude, you just bring up so many great points here. We do got to wrap things up in a minute, but I'll just kind of leave it off with this. And, you know, David D'Angelo, for instance, too, is one of my favorite dating coaches when I first started learning about this stuff. Cause you know, my guys know for years I struggled with dating problems. And, it wasn't until I got my own life handled with the dating and the confidence and the social skills and the self-esteem, but dominance in particular, dominance was one of the big things that I had to really believe in and accept is something that I needed to have to be more attractive to women. I used to think being the nice guy, being, you know, the pleasing type of guy, even the needy guy in a way, as far as like always being there for a woman or always like texting her right back if she, and this is, you know, back when texting first started too, but you know, you get the point, like always being there and putting her above you, putting her first and not being dominant, like the opposite of dominant, though, all those things like you think the woman wants or the girl wants. You think you're going to be more attractive because you're going to be more pleasing to her. You're going to fit into what you believe is like a good guy. But like those things all turn women off. And it's not until you have the dominant side to you, the strong side to you, that backbone in you that we're talking about here, that she actually sees that you're an attractive guy, that you actually turn on those signals in her body, in her mind, that she doesn't even realize are what turn her on. That's the thing that works, though. It's the dominance. It's the confidence. It's the being the good guy, but having, you know, having that strong backbone to you, and you're not going to just be, you're not going to lay down and take all her crap because they want to. When you do that, when you stand up to her or have the ability to stand up to her, you have the ability to stand up to other people. And that really goes back to that whole thing we were talking about earlier, is being the protector and the provider. And, you know, you're not going to have to physically, most of the time in this day and age, you're not going to have to physically stand up for her and fight for her, but just having that ability to, or the belief that in her mind that you can do that is, I think, is really the game changer.
If you can't stand up to her, you can't stand up for her.
Yeah.
You know, the dominance in the bedroom is a lot like taking the car out on track day. You're showing the woman what you're capable of, and she trusts you because you're not, you know, you make good decisions. You act in her best interest. She trusts the power you bring to that sexual experience. She trusts you taking her and, you know, pulling the hair and spanking her butt. It's all a show of strength, as it were, to remind her that you are her hero. And that's why women get so horny with sex like that. I mean, sometimes they want to dominate you for fun or whatever. You know, that's great. But yeah, man, I think, you know, we've covered it for these guys. And I just want these guys to know, first of all, being a man is a lot more rewarding than simply giving in and saying, I'm off the hook for, you know, being masculine because it's toxic anyway. I think I'll just turn into someone neuter and live my life. It's not going to help you get women. And there's nothing more rewarding than being a hero and having the women respond powerfully to you. I want to just say something real quick before you wrap up. And I promise it'll be quick. I am not a badass. I'm not very tall. I've never taken martial arts. I've done some very cool things in my life that some people would say were, you know, involve some level of bravery or whatever. But I'm not a veteran. And I have had more than one Navy SEAL come do live weekends with me where I show them what I know about how to attract women. And I'm very, very honored by that. And it confuses me to a degree because, I mean, my God, you know, Navy SEALs, every one of them writes a book about how to be a powerful, dominant dude, you know. And yet they're coming to a guy like me. And I've even said to these guys at the end of the weekend, you know, I'm really honored that a guy who, you know, has such bravado and such little fear would come to me for this. And they acknowledge, hey, look, it's not just the macho stuff. It's about understanding women. It's about how to translate who the hell I am and the power I have and the masculinity I have in a way that's going to, you know, how to harness that power for specifically attracting women and believing in my ability to attract women. And it's just amazing how no matter who you are, it's what you believe about your manhood. It's what you believe about your responsibility as a man. It's what you believe about women that's ultimately going to get you the women. You know, the most macho guy doesn't always win. And as a matter of fact, you guys listening, the more classically macho, hyper masculine your appearance or presence is, the less slack women are going to give you for messing it up and being needy. You know, you're going to be called to a higher standard. And I face that with a lot of guys I coach. It's amazing. But yeah, man, yeah. Great conversation.
No, I loved it, man. Scott, what is, final takeaway message real quick, and then the place that our listeners can check out more about your work, your website, your podcast.
It's don't be afraid or intimidated from being a man. You were born a man. It's what you're supposed to be. Don't let the politics skew your focus. It's okay to be a man. It's how you were created. The women want you to be a man. And you can be a virtuous man while still fighting the toxic masculinity. If you guys like to listen or you guys like to read, I've got you covered. I got a podcast of my own that Justin's about to be a guest on for the second time called The Mountaintop, where we talk about a lot of these things. I have great guests too. We talk about how to get better with women a lot. We talk, and that's good for whether you're single or married. I'm also willing to give you a copy of my first book that was called Deserve What You Want, which is now the URL of our entire web universe. It's the book that started it all back in 2005. Go to scottmckay.net. My name's spelled with one T, scottmckay.net, and it'll ask you if you're a reader or a listener or both, and whatever kind of media you prefer, I got something free for you. So go ahead and grab it.
Guys, make sure you check them out. Scott, thanks again for coming back on the podcast. I look forward to doing your podcast real soon, and I'll talk to you soon, man. Take care.
Truly my pleasure.
All right, guys. I hope you enjoyed that episode. But before you go, there's one last thing I need you to do. I need you to subscribe to this podcast right now if you haven't already. By subscribing to the podcast, you get every single episode the minute they're released. Get all of our Elite Man podcast interviews with all of our incredible world-class guests from the lifestyle, health, fitness, business, and social worlds absolutely free. Subscribe now, guys, if you haven't already, and enjoy all future episodes. And yes, if you do love the podcast, leave us an awesome review. We really do appreciate it.